the beverage or whatever they have over there. But I don't know, you know, every place is different. Hell, in the South, South America, they don't serve soda to you cold.
That doesn't make any logical sense.
Because they
It's
said that the if because your body's at a certain temperature, and you put it in cold, it shocks it, and it's creating you're that's what they I think I'm hearing that right, where it's like it's making more work for your body to heat up the cold beverage. So it's like you if you're drinking it, it's already going to be warmed up. So it's like there's no
That's weird.
Hello, and thank you very much for downloading this most recent episode of Movie Guys Podcast. You can download many more episodes at movieguyspodcast.podbean.com.
Here we are again, something that Jordan knows nothing about. I have seen people play, and I've gotten bad looks when I said, oh, it's like Pokemon for adults. I will. Dungeons and Dragons, we're talking about. Dungeons and Dragons Among Thieves, is that what it is?
Yeah, because
Yeah.
there was a movie in the 2000s of the same name, Dungeons and Dragons, with Jeremy Irons and Marlon Wayans.
Don't know anything about it. I thought this was the first Dungeons and Dragons movie. This kind of goes off of my knowledge of Dungeons and Dragons. I'm not disrespecting. I just don't know anything about it. So going into this, no idea. So I IMDb'd the crap out of it. And I guess this is based off of a Dungeons and Dragons game that some guy created called Forgotten Realm.
Oh, it's a game?
It's from guy, it's some dude
Huh.
that created something called the Forgotten Realm, and this is what these characters are based in the
I'm just
were
joking.
you
I
oh
play
you
Dungeons and
mean
Dragons, and I
oh you
still
mean
do to this day, actually. So I have a campaign going still right now. Yes,
right.
I am a cleric.
Don't know what that is.
Oh,
So
Twilight cleric,
don't know
and
what
this one like that, and the
don't
other
know.
one I've played a thief. I went assassin rogue actually, so just let yeah, just to really go above you in my nerddom, Jordan. There, if you'll let me put this crown back on, thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Yes.
All right, so okay, so since you are a super uber fan and you're playing Dungeons and Dragons, what is the Forgotten Realm? Educate me on
I have
this,
no
and also
clue.
to the fan, you don't know. Okay.
There are so many different campaigns and storylines that are of Dungeons and Dragons. There's one that involves the Ninja Turtles, I think. There's so many because it's fantasy and it takes so much of the individual. It welcomes, it's open source, so anyone can make their own story. There is canon. I think there is a main storyline and there is books. And that obviously movies, but I am not that far into the culture. Usually, just because I thought the game itself was just more about creating it yourself. I know there are podcasts, there are web streams and series that are very popular that a lot of people like to watch and donate to that. And those are a lot of fun. I liked Harmon Quest. That was a fun thing. You don't
Okay,
know, Harmon
okay.
Quest was like a Dungeons and Dragons campaign that they animated.
All right, so for somebody like myself and possibly people that are listening, we are talking about the movie, don't worry, everybody. So just kind of give me an education. So this is as somebody who knows nothing. So my interpretation of Dungeons and Dragons is that there is no game. Like, I mean, you can go to a website, you can buy figurines and make your own world on like this on this board game, if you will, like on a tabletop, right? You can make different
All
things
completely optional.
and you literally, and this is no disrespect, but you pull what players have to do out of your rear end. Like it's just you are the dungeon master and you have a story that you have written. And then you invite people come over to play, and these plays could take an hour, this play could take weeks or probably years. And you guys compete into this quest. This dungeon master is God, and can decide whether you can do certain moves or not do certain moves.
You're there.
Is this it?
You're close enough, I guess, if someone were to, you know, kind of give you the quick version of it. But yes and no. There are rules to it. There is a baseline standard rule that people have to abide by. One is like rolling the stats or the limitations of your character. You cannot be limitless.
Be God.
Yeah, in what you can do. There are still, you can still die, and people die often in this game. So don't think of it as it's some boundless kind of world. There are a lot of still law, and like there's even police in this game sometimes. I've been busted by it, a few of them actually. But the dungeon master has to carry out the rules and tasks that are limited through the game. God, yes, but more like someone who just mediates and pushes things along. Is someone who's judging and like really kind of interfering with it, whereas a DM is just a tour guide. How about that?
So they don't play.
They can. They are the NPC. They are the ones who, when you fight something, they are the ones who are rolling the dice. There are books for certain storylines or campaigns, which would have maybe certain enemies. Those enemies have stats. You can't just make them up, right? So maybe there's one enemy that with a certain, you know, health pool or a certain resistant, or maybe, a certain specification towards an element of something. And that's what their power is, and that's what the theme of that adventure would be.
So,
and you have items and different traits that people would have to use. And you're limited to use them. So let's say that your character, even though that there's a whole book of things, of spells that you could learn, you can only have like three on deck.
So it's like playing Resident Evil, where it's like, nope, your inventory is limited.
But like everything is available. You just have to choose which ones you make available.
Okay, so then for somebody who has played D&D, have you heard of this Forgotten Realm that this world is based in? Like, is this like a fanboy realm?
Maybe for some other people, but not for me. I did recognize a lot of things in this movie when they were.
Okay.
It was really fun because they were dropping names to like cities, and I would perk up and say, "Oh, or I know that." Sarah got real excited because when I put her into one of our campaigns, there was a city that we were visiting in our campaign that they mentioned in here, Waterdeep, and it's a fun little Easter egg that kind of keeps you invested into the movie. But let me ask you this, for somebody like yourself who really has little to no experience whatsoever in any of the franchise, game, comic, or otherwise, how did this movie kind of fare? Like, I mean, with you, because this is completely to the casual, completely to the layman, right? As the person walking in to watch this movie, did it keep interest? Was it kind of like anything else or everything else that you've seen?
So I went to this like kind of like Lord of the Rings, right? Because everybody knew Lord of the Rings before Lord of the Rings came out.
Right.
And I didn't. So I didn't know what I was getting. I don't know anything. I found myself to be very entertained. I know the world of Dungeons and Dragons exists. I know that these characters are these wink, wink, nod, nods I'm probably not getting. Like these red wizards and things, like I'm sure these are things, but push that aside. What this movie does really well in is that it doesn't make the common folk feel stupid.
Yeah good
like
call.
Like it doesn't make me feel stupid, like I should be sitting there with like hardcore D&D people and be like, so what's that bear owl thing that she morphs into?
An owl bear.
Owl bear, pretty obvious. Good. Okay, so it's like, yeah. So it's this movie did a very good job. I will tell you, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be reviewing this movie. I mean, I had no interest. The trailers didn't look good. Chris Pine has kind of fizzled out for me after Star Trek Beyond. I don't think he's really done great things. We reviewed him last year with Don't Worry, Darling.
Yeah.
I thought he was good in that. So since I thought he was good in that one, I was interested to see what he was doing. This movie plays as like a Monty Python, a little bit more serious. I was just, to be honest with you, I pressed play and my arms were folded. And by the credits, I was kind of perked up on my seat a little bit.
Crying?
No, went too way too long. Hour and a half. Needed to be an hour and a half.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that.
2 hours and 15 minutes. When they left, all the way to the end, when they left the city, and then they were like, oh, let's turn around. I look at my wife and I go, oh, my God. Like, is this going to end?
Yeah, I think I did the same thing where I was just like, oh, they still have to go back and defeat the witch? Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't care for that. Some other things I did care about is Michelle Rodriguez. Can I talk to you about Michelle Rodriguez?
You absolutely can.
So you and I are around the same age, and a lot of people that are around our age that are male that listen to this podcast probably feel the same way that I do. In 2002, when Michelle Rodriguez jumps onto the screen with Resident Evil, the original movie, she was hot. She was something, right? A lot of people are looking at Mila Jovovich. I was the guy that was looking at Michelle Rodriguez. I was like, oh, this is somebody to watch. And then she was in the Fast and Furious like a few years before, or like a year before. So like, and then she did Blue Crush afterwards. So she was this star, if you will, on the rise, and then fizzled out. I didn't see nothing of Michelle Rodriguez until they did the Fast and Furious reboots. She comes back. And when I saw her here, I was like, oh, this must be between Fast 9 and Fast X. What's she doing here? But then again, the arms folded became uncrossed. I thoroughly enjoyed her in this. I thought she was really fun. I didn't think she would be fun, but she was fun.
Yeah, they really did a good job with the casting. Everyone really played the part. Michelle Rodriguez just went 100% on that character. The big part of it just looked like everyone was having fun. It really looked like everyone on screen was not acting. It looked like they're all playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like to me. Like, I was being probably typical. I was typecasting. The redhead girl that had the horns that could change into things. She came from it.
Tiefling, yes.
Tiefling is her name.
Tiefling.
Tief? Is that her name or is that
are,
like
are you
her...
saying teeth?
Tief. Tief.
I don't know. Is your beard in the way of your mouth? What? How are you saying? Am I hearing it wrong?
T E E F.
We're moving on. Link. Yeah, no, you're good.
Tape. Anyway, I was typecasting her. I was like, oh, she's from It. A lot of the kids are kind of fizzled out from the It movies. Even the Stranger Things kid is kind of fizzling out. So I'm like, is she gonna do anything? She was pleasant. The sorcerer wannabe, I've seen him, but I don't know where I've seen him at.
Oh, yeah. I think wasn't he in Detective Pikachu?
Was that who that was?
Maybe. I thought so. Here, let me look it up real quick. Justice Smith. What a
name. He looked
name.
Familiar. He looked very familiar.
Yeah, Detective Pikachu. He was in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Get him out of here.
So... right there, I'm kind of showing my hand right now, right? Where it's like I'm seeing this cast as it progressed, and my arms are folded every time that I see a new cast member, but they kind of win me over. I will also say this story is so boring and so generic, just the actual story part.
Yeah, it. I'll tell you, I've
predictable.
Seen Willow the series this year as well, and it does seem like a lot of these fantasy movies go along the same hero's journey, the same step-by-step hero's journey where they go around and then they have to do, you know, the friendship test and they pick up the stranger, all the things.
Yeah, all the things. It all sounds familiar. Like Chris Pine is this normal dude. He marries a chick and then he wants to, I'm not going to get it, but he wants to be a spy for honor.
Sure.
There's
a big balance that you have in the movies, though, because the comedy aspect versus the seriousness of it, you know, and Willow, I think they tried to really put in serious parts to it. And then they would, yeah, and then they'd go back to comedy, and then they would just throw in some nonsense sometimes. But either way, the characters weren't all likable. It's like two of them were. All these characters seemed to really fit into what their roles are, and they didn't go over it. They played off each other very well, making it very likable. It didn't seem like there was any one trying to command for the other. I always felt that Chris Pine was friends with Michelle Rodriguez. Like that they were always with Holga and Edgin. Is that Ed? Or yeah, that they were always a team. I never thought that it was always, you know, one up for the other and them trying to, you know. So I really like that. And because in the other movies, you get the feeling that Chris Pine is more like a double crosser.
Right. So like, with these characters, do you know at all that if these character names are something that are part of D&D, or this is made up for the movie, or do you not know?
I'm not too sure.
Okay. The part of the movie where my arms started to get uncrossed was when they were in the frozen prison world, if you will. And he's doing his little Morgan Freeman, you can sign your name on the little paper, son, I don't care speech, right? All about his past and everything, Chris Pine. And okay. He keeps on saying in between, where's Jason? Where's Jeff or whatever? They keep on asking for, like, where's this other guy that's supposed to listen to our speech?
Oh, yeah.
So you're talking
about at the opening when we find Edgin and Holga, Chris Pine and Michelle Rodriguez in prison. Starting out in, what's that building called? A Panopticon? Yeah, in a Panopticon. Thank you, Peanut Gallery. And it's a unique building that we got to kind of finally see in a movie that was, I think the Guardians tried to do something like it too. But it's always fun to see in their position trying to plea, right? Trying to up for parole.
Right, they're trying to get parole, and they keep on asking for this guy, Jeff, or Jason, something J, right?
Yeah, like Jefferson or something.
Yeah, like hey, where's Jared? Jared's supposed to be here or something like that.
Jonathan.
Whatever. Like, I just thought it was funny.
Jefferson.
And the reason why I kept on thinking it was funny is because I'm like, okay, this is the guy that's gonna break him out. That turned out to be true. So this dude that comes in who was supposed to be there, who was late because of the weather, is Birdman, right? Yeah. He's half man, half like hawk kind of dude. And he's just like, oh my God, you're here. And then he like runs at him and hugs him and they fly out the window. So he helped him escape unbeknownst to him. And that's what got me. That was the moment. And I think that was a smart moment by the directors to get somebody like me who doesn't know anything and go, oh, okay, I know what I'm getting now. This is supposed to be funny. I get it. Okay.
Especially with the joke as they're falling to hear that Dragon King Council say that, we've approved your parole.
Right. I enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed that part. And then we get into, like we said, more of the backstory where Chris Pine was this spy. And
he was Harper. That's a big deal. I know the Harpers.
Harper. Okay, so Harper's a spy, right?
They can be.
That's what he was, though, right?
They're like the Secret Service. They are, I guess, mages, right? That kind of, not necessarily police, but just keep out for the better of the realm.
So he's a part of the Assassin's Creed.
Sure. You want to say
that? No, I'm not serious. That's kind of what it is, right? It's just like this.
Well, I don't want to compare them more to like a secret police. But I kind of feel maybe like an FBI. Does that make more sense?
Okay, so he's a Harper, and
like some of them like patrol. Sorry to cut you up, but like some of them will do street patrol. Some of them will work in secret.
Be a spy, okay? Yeah. Because like what we find out is that we think he has a heart of gold, but he arrests like this red wizard, which they called the women wizards too, which I didn't understand because I thought women wizards were witches and dude wizards were wizards. But they called male female wizard didn't matter.
The Magus Red.
It's actually called Maga Red.
Something.
That's hilarious. Do you get it?
Magic. What?
Mago Red? That's hilarious. But anyway.
Yeah, and that's where it comes from, buddy.
I believe it.
It's all but a Dungeons & Dragons game the entire time.
All of it. No, so like, so we actually find that he steals treasure or something, so then the red wizards come to find him, but they kill his wife instead, and he has to raise this newborn girl, whatever her name is, and then he becomes friends with Holga?
She kind of fell into the life, and Kira is the daughter's name.
Kira's the daughter, and then
who
they get
is,
this...
been in some... Chloe Coleman is the character, didn't it? Sorry to cut you off. She's also in 65. She's been working. I don't know who's pushing this little girl, but she was in... what was that David Bautista movie?
Oh, Knock at the Cabin.
No, the one where he does the... Dave Bautista does the comedy role. My Spy.
I don't know that one.
My Spy with... My little eye, it's you know the Rock that did the pacifier, or Vin Diesel did the pacifier, and Rock did Tooth Fairy.
This is his Tooth Fairy.
And then Hulk Hogan did Suburban Commando. Yeah. We keep on going.
Keep on, Vin Diesel. Yeah. So typical story, right? And then he gets this band of characters.
Kindergarten
and...
Cop. Holy cow, dude! Did I just figure out our next retrospective? Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
I don't think it's going to be enough. I don't think Sylvester Stallone did one.
Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Is that Stallone?
That is.
Oh, my God. Jeez. Okay, so again.
Fun game.
So the story, been there, done that. He gets this band of characters, and they discover from this female red wizard that there's this tablet where he can ask to bring somebody from the dead only once.
Oh,
question.
You're missing. Yeah, I think you did. You gloss over it. I'm sorry. Yeah, he gets a band of misfits together, which is the wizard guy, the halfling elf, the wizard Hugh Grant, who is a con man.
I love Hugh Grant in this.
And the daughter, right?
Right.
And
well,
Hugh
no.
Grant recruits the witch. Sophina.
Right. He recruits the witch. So I want to talk about this real quick. And I don't know if you've heard about this in Dungeons and Dragons lore. My wife asked a question. She goes, "Wait a minute." So Chris Pine gets this tablet, and if he grants for his wife to come back alive, does that mean it's gone? That means nobody else can ever get a chance to bring somebody back. This is a one and done, and that's it.
One and done.
That's stupid. I thought it'd be like one wish per person kind of thing.
Nope. There are a few items that can really, really do that. A lot of artifacts that are in the world are kind of like a one purpose thing and really work limited for people. It's a lot of them can kill you if you don't use them right.
Well, he seemed to be doing just fine with it. But this is when he gets double-crossed, right? And this is when they go to that snow prison place. And now they're out, and they're going to go to this kingdom where Hugh Grant, who was a part of their band of misfits, is now the king.
I think they went to Tribor first to get the kid. Oh, no, they went to Neverwinter first.
Right,
to
get
Hugh
the
Grant
sorcerer.
To see that, yeah, because the daughter, because Kira was there. And he then found out that he was betrayed by their friend, not anymore, by Hugh Grant.
So I want to talk about some actors in this that I didn't see coming. Hugh Grant, right? I didn't think Hugh Grant had a star to shine. Boy, was he fun in this.
Man, he is really taking on a lot of roles. I don't know if he's just feeling like the acting bug lately, but I feel like I have just seen him in a lot. Here we go. Maybe because I've been watching a lot of Guy Ritchie. But Dungeons & Dragons, he was in the last one was Operation Fortune, which Guy Ritchie. Glass Onion, which I think everyone watched on Netflix, right?
No.
The, what's that? That yeah, the detective movie. Let's see, The Gentleman. Oh, it's another Guy Ritchie. Paddington 2. Come on, who hasn't seen Paddington 2? Red Nose Day, actually. You know, nothing. Yeah, you know all of these.
I don't know any of these.
You know Red Nose Day, actually.
No, I don't.
It's Love Actually's Red Nose Day sequel.
Is that what you guys showed me like a year and a half, 2 years ago, where it's on YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay, no, I didn't watch it.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was a good movie. Is that another Guy Ritchie? Jeez, does he just do Guy Ritchie? Okay.
Well, I don't mention. Well, anyway, the point is, again, I've established in this review so far that I'm a very extreme casual fan, and I haven't seen Hugh Grant really that much, and I was really excited to see what he would do, and I thought he did fun. He was, but correct me if I'm wrong, and I always compare here. Isn't he pretty much Wormtongue from Lord of the Rings?
He's a cheeky son of a gun. Yeah, I guess in the
he's Wormtongue.
Wormtongue in the book, maybe, because Wormtongue in the movie, what took over Rohan, right?
Well, that's
in
I've
the book. Didn't Wormtongue take over the Shire?
I've never read the Lord of the Rings. I'm only based off the movie. The reason why I bring up Wormtongue is just because it seems like it's the same thing, right? Because didn't they say that in this kingdom, like the actual king is like,
oh yes,
like on his deathbed, or he's just something's messed
he's
up
sick.
With the king. He's, like, he's sick. He's paralyzed. So then Hugh Grant is now taking over for the king to do his evil things. Hence why I'm comparing him to Wormtongue, which I don't know if you thought that was a fair comparison.
It is.
Okay. All right. So that's who he is. And his right-hand man is the Red Wizard. Sophia, you said?
Sophina.
And his whole plan, we find out later, but his whole plan is we're going to rob the kingdom while she makes an army of the dead of the living. That's the agreement.
Yeah. The trade is that he will, with his charisma, because he rolled charisma check and obviously is hitting 20s, he's a con guy. And his job is to get all the people, to bring them back into the games that were once banned by this king, get him in here, get the money flowing, and then he'll take the money and run, right? And then she can have the bodies.
And it doesn't matter to him, right? And they're going to do this Roman Colosseum games in the middle of the city square, if you will. That's where she's going to get all her victims. This is the agreement.
Yep.
While this is going on, so I don't know if I fell asleep, which I didn't. I don't know if I went to the bathroom. But where did this magical helmet – that was like their first major quest, right, is to get this helmet?
So they were coming up with different plans. And there's a lot of details in this movie that we're not really talking about, so we'll start it now. But one such is how Chris Pine's character, who I would think is more of a bard than a thief, is coming up with plans. He's a planner.
A, B, C.
Yeah, plan D, which is like B.
But it's not. It's D.
B's got dirt on its name now, so we got a plan D now.
I like that line.
Yeah, but a big thing about D&D is we will spend a long time trying to plan. Case in point, a good example of this is when they were going to retrieve that helmet and they were in front of the bridge. The cleric guy was explaining about everything they needed to do, you know, laying out the plan, spending all this time carefully thinking like, okay, this is what we got to do. We got to do this, you, Jordan, you have to go here. When you go there, you're going to, you know, kalukaku. And then that's my sign to do over here. And then once that happens, I'm going to cut the rope. And then, you know, all this planning. Exactly. You're going to give me all the signs, all this planning. And then suddenly, like, that one thing happens. Someone takes that one step on the wrong brick, and all of a sudden, boom. That hour that you just got done planning is done. All right, plan B. We got to run. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's just run.
Okay.
Or kill it. Plan C. Just kill the thing. Don't ask questions. Kill it.
Okay, so again, though, that didn't. So my question is, what was the point of this helmet? What this because they went
the helmet,
what they originally
was planning. Sorry to cut you off there. I got off on the tangent.
No, because what they did was that they went to Michelle Rodriguez's family's gravesite where this battle was. And
hold up.
They had this. Oh.
So the plan, Neverwinter, games, vault. Vault is protected by the arcane seal of Jordan Sawkill. And
they sure use my show, my name on air.
Yeah, there you go. Because we can look it up. And what was it? To counter the seal, you either have to have that helm, which would nullify all hexes or curses, or try to get in through the vault, or they're limited of what they could do to try to break that seal.
Okay.
And so the one goal was to get that helmet so that it would break the seal that they could get into the vault then. So in order to get this helmet, they first had to try to locate it, right, and ask Holga's family. By the way, too, we need to bring in Reggie Jean Page. Is that his name? Reggie Jean Page?
Who's Zenk? That?
He's the cleric. He's the paladin.
He's the wannabe sorcerer?
No, he's the other guy with the plate mail who they recruit, who's just no sense of humor. You know, he's just a badass. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I know that guy because my wife watches Bridgerton.
Yes, the Bridgerton guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Had I known that you would have known him automatically from Bridgerton, Jordan, maybe that would have been better.
I didn't know him from Bridgerton. I'm watching this movie.
I get it. His shirt's on. How would you have known?
Okay, so just for clarification's sake here, my wife is on her phone not watching the movie on her phone, and she hears this guy talk, and she looks up. She goes, oh, that's the guy from Bridgerton. And I went, who? She went, that guy. I was like, oh. And she goes, he's not showing his butt, though. Oh. That was the conversation.
Is that what the movie was missing? Some butt?
this Bridgerton guy,
yes,
but
over there, okay.
Right. Okay, I love, really, truly, really actually like the whole graveyard scene. So they go there and they have to dig up her ancestors and they have to do a spell. And then the corpses will be alive for only 5 questions and then they're dead forever. And I love how, because I knew where the joke was going, right? They just, you know, like right off the bat, Chris Pine asked like 4 questions off the bat.
It's Chris Pine. You've said Pine a few times now.
Pine, Chris Pine. Like pine needles, like pine. Don't do it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's Chris Pine.
Yeah, no, you're right. You are absolutely right. I'm hearing my headphones broken.
Pine.
I promise you, I heard it. Go ahead.
I love the scenes. This is great. I like how they would have 3 or 4 questions that were not at all questions that they wanted to ask, and the guy's dead. They ask more questions. My favorite part was the last guy where they get all the information from, and then he's like, you guys only asked 4 questions. Hello? Can I please die now? I thought that was great.
He was the after credits scene too.
There's after credits scene?
It was, yeah, it's not much. It's just a little 3-second clip of that zombie going, I'm still here. Hello.
Oh, got it. No, I thoroughly enjoy it. So this zombie guy's like, hey, this dude, the guy from Bridgerton, has the helmet.
That's right.
So then they go to this place where this cat baby gets ate by a giant fish, and he just comes, like this Bridgerton guy just comes so majestically. Like he was missing like long hair with a mane, right? Just flowing in the wind.
Lawful good, man. You can't beat it.
And saves the baby cat thing, and you know, is of course, like we all saw this, right? It's neglected to help them, and then tells more stories about this thing and where he's buried this thing. He has buried this helmet in the deeps of
the under realm or something like that.
Yeah, and the lore of Smaug. Yes.
The underbottom.
The underbottom.
Something like that.
Now, one thing that I will applaud too is traditionally in a movie like this, he would be the thief, he would be the snitch, he would be the backstabber, right? This would be the guy that will take them to where they need to go, and then when their backs are turned, trick them.
Oh, Underdark, right? Is what it's called. Yes.
That's exactly who this guy would be. He reminded me of Benicio Del Toro in Last Jedi, where it's like, okay, this guy's going to double-cross him. Never happened.
That's interesting, because as soon as he did walked up to that fish and saved the kid, the kitten, I guess, and his whole everything, even actually when he grabbed the helmet, I think I knew automatically who he was, what lawful good was. These are the certain characters that are just going around city to city, like a sheriff of Moon Mesa or something, and just keeping the people in order, making sure everyone's good. Hey everybody, how you doing? My name's Eric. Can I help you today? You need anything? Helping old ladies across the street and just doing the thing. You know, every day is just sunshine, butterflies. It's a good day. Right. And just not interested in anything that's not for the good. And yeah, I think it was great, because he almost, if anything, I saw a comment online that said that this character, the way he played it, reminded him of how a DM would play, where it's just completely neutral, no jokes, just all commands, you know, when someone would be joking, oh, come on, and just like, you know, what do you mean, you know, type of thing, because that's how a DM would act, where if you say a request, DM's got to take that request. That was funny.
Could I be a DM? Could I just wake up one day and claim myself to be a dungeon master?
Sure, anyone can if you want to try it. It's how you want to be. Do you want to make your own campaign, or do you want to go to a shop and get a book? It'll probably be your best way to do that. But
my own. Can I just do that? And then I get like 10 people and say, all right, here we go.
Yeah, it would... having no experience, I'm sure it would be difficult for you, but yes, Jordan, anyone can be a DM. It's just like just keep people in order, as long as you keep people engaged.
Okay.
There are bad DMs.
I'd probably be the best bad DM in the world. So they go to this underworld.
Oh, I think place. They're called GMs now.
Why?
Dungeon. I think it's called Game Master now.
Why do they call them Dungeon Masters?
It's PC, I think. I don't know.
What?
Because not all the game is in a dungeon.
Moving on.
Sandwich Master.
Oh my god. It's called Dungeons and Dragons. Alright. I never thought in a million years that I would want to see it on screen. The thought has never came across me until the moment comes when we discover the Bridgerton dude's backstory and how his whole family and his whole town, if you will, got infested with this zombie army thing. And then he's like kind of really sort of, but not really. And it has the fight, and the fight's great. The fight's cinematic, no big deal. But I never thought I wanted this, and I'm so glad I did. They try to escape from these zombie-fied people, and all of a sudden we get Fat Schmog, and I am laughing the entire time Fat Schmog is on screen. This fat dragon is hilarious. I love the fact that we have a fat dragon.
Yeah.
I love it. This is hilarious to me because, like, I noticed they were climbing up this like hilltop, if you will, and it was nothing but bones, right? And I'm just like, what's with all the bones? All of a sudden, this dragon. And then Chris Pine,
there you go,
makes a joke and says, "Oh, he must have ate the entire." Like, that's hilarious. Like, to me, this was funny as hell. This was great. This was the highlight of the movie for me. I will YouTube for a long time the fat dragon.
It was a ride. It was
fun.
Yeah, there was a lot of fun stuff into it. And I guess this is all from Forgotten Realms, like you had said before. The whole story about with the Thanes and the Red Wizards, I guess that's all Forgotten Realm as I'm looking it up, including this pudgy dragon, as it's called. Not fat, I'm sure. That Thember Chow would take offense to that. Maybe not as much as me butchering its name, but
That's the name of the pudgy dragon, Thumberchode.
Thember Chowd.
Thumberchowd.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some spice somewhere that I'm missing in that name.
Okay, well, he was great. He was great.
Yeah, there's plushes of them. Well, there you go. I know what I'm getting your kid for her birthday.
She's not going to get it. She was in bed when I watched this.
Oh well, she gets a pudgy dragon, and who wouldn't want that? It's a
No,
pillow.
I just a pillow.
Oh, it's so pudgy. It's a pillow.
I'm mad that you haven't given me my plush face hugger yet.
This dragon is quite popular, it looks like.
The fat dragon's popular. I
There's a
can see why.
pop. There's a Funko Pop of it.
Of course there is.
I guess there's a Funko Pop of everything, so that's not really. Anyway,
Saying something.
yeah.
Yes, yeah, so this part was fun. The escape, they're in this, they're this dead end, and Light, of course, the wannabe sorcerer Lights, has a flame on his finger and the dragon breath, blah 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 blah, and they escape. And this is where they go back to the kingdom to get his, to get Chris Pine's daughter back. And this is where the showdown is with Hugh Grant and what have you. I enjoyed the portal thing where they can jump.
Yeah.
That I like that idea of them robbing. Were they robbing the stagecoach care? They were robbing that.
The stagecoach? Well, no, they were implanting. The
They
plan
were.
was to with that portal was to as a heist to try to put a picture in that carriage, which would go to the vault because it's full of the treasure. And on the one side of the picture, they would put the portal. And that's how they would get the portal inside the vault, which was plan A. Plan
Right.
B was the helmet.
And then plan C was because the portrait fell
Yes.
flat, face down. Gotcha. So then the girl from It, right? The one with the horns, you said her name earlier in the show,
Yep.
her species or whatever. Could she
That's a
literally change into.
tiefling, and her name is Doric.
Okay, Doric. Could she change into any.
Yeah, she could change it to anything.
Okay, she can change anything. No, like any animal.
Any animal that she has seen before.
Okay, so to quote a line from Terminator 2, she cannot make herself into a pack of cigarettes.
No, a there are rules with the changeling. And hold on, I actually have the player's handbook right here. I can
Are
look
you
it up if you
serious?
want. Yeah, like I
No.
said. Oh, okay. But yeah, I
You
think that's.
didn't go so deep into that.
I say we can get the rules, Jordan. I can give you
Good, good.
the whole everything about it. But yeah, I think she needs to be exposed to some like air, so it can't be like in. Like the cube, like the gelatinous cube part. She needed to have a finger exposed to the outside element in order to be able to change, I believe, to touch air. I think is that might be.
Okay.
I have not played the character, so maybe there's some words in there that would be better described. But yeah, to I believe any character or any animal, any living creature that you have seen, it can't be. I don't think you can clone, you know what I mean? Like you can't turn into another human, like a shapeshift.
This is an animal.
Correct. Just
Yeah.
a
Yeah.
yeah, like a wild form.
Gotcha. No skinwalkers. So, of course, they get captured. They get, their plan is, well, they get captured. And then they get into the games of this giant maze, or one would call the Triwizard Tournament.
Yeah, good call.
And we get this maze thing goes up and down, and they're getting chased. Them and other groups of people are getting chased by panthers with tentacles.
Yep.
And the gelatinous cube, that was funny. So when somebody falls into this gelatinous cube, I guess it's so hot that it melts their skin.
It think of the blob. It digests.
Oh, it's the blob. So it's alive. It's real.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And they suck. A lot of people do not like the cubes.
Okay. So, wait a minute. Okay. So this cube thing is actually like legit. Like,
yeah.
This
is it's real. A lot of basically everything that you saw in this movie is a real thing in the game that can either be played against or with. A lot of the weapons that were used, a lot of the characters, a lot of the enemies or animals that you had seen. Yeah.
Okay.
All part of the game. Cities.
So now while we're talking about the ending, we'll go back to the beginning where the plan with Hugh Grant and the Red Wizard was for Hugh Grant to steal all the riches, and the Red Wizard, she was to turn everybody into these Army of the Undead, so she has to get everybody into one place, hence the Colosseum, to turn everybody into zombies. That's the plan. A lot of questions about that, but I'm not going to make the show go longer because who cares? Like, why can't you just go above the kingdom and just like infect the whole city? Why does it have to be in the Colosseum? It's silly.
Everything is limited by its range as well, too. That's the other thing that I think, and that really makes a difference between a good DM and I think a bad DM, is those elements where people want to make it like a video game or completely a ridiculous fantasy where, you know, I want to be able to do this. It's like, all right, well, realistically, you're in a room that's, you know, 20 by 30. You know, it's not that big. If you miss, chances are it's going to bounce off. You know, it's going to hit something. You know, it's not just going to go off. So there's a lot of consequence for the action that people don't really take into mind when they play. Some GMs, count ammo, count arrows as well, too. So there's not a whole lot of times where I see these characters using projectiles, which is something to note because, you know, you lose an arrow, that's gone. Or an arrow breaks. Happens all the time.
All right, so then our band of heroes fight with Hugh Grant and steal his ship, but then they have to turn around because the Armageddon thing in the Colosseum is happening.
Yeah.
And why that's going on,
he took an
oath. Hugh Grant gets his ship back, but then on the big, huge air balloon, he is spitting out all the riches, so that's how everybody leaves the Colosseum. And then we get into a big fight. This Red Wizard is strong.
Anything red is usually very, very strong. Red dragons, red wizards, red giants.
That's what should have been the color of the evil things in the village.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
You like that? No, it's just, okay, so this was the part where I was like, okay, all right, so everything was cool, everything was fun. I'm not a D&D guy. I'm a very extreme casual fan, but now the time is starting to wane. Now the love of the characters are starting to wane on me. I thought the movie was going to end with Chris Pine looking at the camera going, we got to go back. And then, boom, stay tuned for part two, you know. So I was bored at this point. The fight was cool. It was very cinematic again, but it dragged. It dragged.
Sure.
And of course we get the big Hulk Loki moment where the bear owl thing like smashes the crap out of the Red Wizard, and then she raises her hand up one more time and smashes it again. I was like, oh my god, is it dead? Like, do they die? I don't know. And of course, Michelle Rodriguez gets stabbed in the heart with a Red Wizard knife.
Red dagger, blade, yeah.
A dagger.
Red Witch blade or something like that.
Right. As soon as I saw the camera pan towards Michelle Rodriguez with the dagger sticking out of her chest, I'm like, okay, all right, yeah, Chris Pine's going to save her, right? Because the mom's is a nameless character, if you will, right?
She's not in the credits.
Yes. And so Chris Pine, instead of bringing back his wife, him and his daughter, bring back Michelle Rodriguez. Everybody's happy. and let's just move on, right? Like, end of movie at that point. The last 15 minutes was too long. They should have stopped it at 2 hours. That would have been, to me, better. There's no reason to go on an extra 15 minutes.
Sure.
But I'm curious, so I guess I'll go on this one, right? I will go for my Parker rating.
Wait, what about the Michelle Rodriguez's love interest, her love story?
I want to talk about how I quickly noticed that Bradley Cooper was a dwarf.
Yeah, what are they called? I think they're just called tiny. Are they just dwarfs? Yeah.
I love that Chris. I love that Bradley Cooper said this. I love it. That's what this movie needed, was these star-studded cast members and just ridiculous roles. But he was absolutely hilarious. And I love, like, she's this big, strong, scary, brute of a woman. And then she's just in love with this half-sized midget dude.
And his new love interest is the same, too.
It's the same exact person. It's just hilarious. And then that, like, what, at the end when they get, like, knighted by the king or whatever, she's in love with the other short dude, yeah. Right? By the way, did they say F.U. to Lord of the Rings? Mind you, do they say F.U. to Gimli? Because they're in the maze when the panther things are chasing after them, and then the camera decides to stay onto this dwarf character that looks exactly like Gimli, and he gets ripped to shreds. I'm just like, is that a...
it could have been. I think a lot of those were more of a nod to the 1980s cartoon Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay.
So yeah, given that what they were wearing, it seemed like it was a lot more of a nod to that.
Okay. All right. I do want to get my Parker in this one. This one is probably obvious to you. I don't know about the fans who are listening. Medium. It's fine. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Again, I came to this arms folded. I left would not be pissed if there was a sequel with the same actors and actresses. If they change it, I don't know if I want to come back. It's fine. I mean, like, this doesn't have to be Dungeons and Dragons, right? Like if you were not a fan or know anything about Dungeons and Dragons, slap another fantasy title on this and it's fine. I think that's what does the movie justice, is that you don't have to be an Uber fan to get it, which made it great for me to watch. I think this movie is fun. Definitely a movie to sit at home and watch. I don't know if it's a theater movie, but a medium bag, right? I mean, it's good for what it is.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on that 100%. It's I would be excited for a sequel. If it came out, I would watch it. But, excuse me, I do feel like it's setting itself up where if it's too many, it would ruin it. But this is a good thing here. They have a good group. They have a good team. It just works. The humor was great. I liked how it could kind of come in and out. The part that I mentioned still is when Zenk was walking away on the beach, and Chris Pine had his little commentary about, you know, him walking unusually straight and I'm coming up to the rock. There. Oh, going left, right? No,
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, just little things good. Like that are great. Michelle Rodriguez with those one-liners were great.
Yeah,
her timing and this way that she delivered them, the way like who was it? Dork was saying like, "Oh, I'm not in it for the money," and then she's like, "Well, then we'll split it up among us." Perfect. Great. Thank you, Michelle. Things like that. I think everyone just kind of worked. Just well, you could tell everyone was just having fun. I would watch it even more if there a sequel, knowing that Hugh Grant wasn't in it. He's good, don't get me wrong, but he's so good that when he can play cheeky a little bit too well, and he kind of pisses me off after some time, you know, where it's just like somebody punched this guy.
Do you think that the villain? Sorry to interrupt. Do you think the villain, like in a sequel, should be somebody like first? Okay, I'll just spell it out. I think the villain for the sequel should be Le Chiffre.
Okay.
That actor. I only know him as Le Chiffre from Bond.
Sure.
But somebody that's serious, maybe?
The good thing about, I guess, Dungeons & Dragons is that you can really up the degree of challenge that you want. This was good because this had the element of like the political part of it, which is a lot of the game where you have to wheel and deal through charisma checks and history checks and knowing who you're talking to and where you're at. But then there's still some fighting that happened in here too. I think that's, again, why this movie works so well, just because it is, much as it had for the regular, it had just as much for the longtime player in it as well. And it just had a really good balance. So I think that's why I think I enjoyed it so much. I really wasn't expecting it. And it just worked. The takeaway, there were some parts that maybe, yeah, the runtime maybe was a bit too long. Maybe cut that down on just a little bit. I don't know what else if I would have. I don't know. I liked how it wrapped it up at the end, where it was Hugh Grant telling the prison story. So maybe they can go with like more jail threats. I don't know, but you know, like for the sequel, you could make it another wizard thing. You could do like the Red Wizard, like a cult or a council. You know, you could make a dragon thing. It depends on how big you want to go, but it just seems like these were beatable enemies. And do you think that's a reason why maybe a lot of superhero movies or these fantasy movies that we see now can get a bit ridiculous? Is because sometimes these enemies are like so big bad, and it's just like, well, you're telling me that Ant-Man was able to beat him?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems kind of like give it to where the threat is still real, but with like every threat, they're not overpowered. So,
sure.
So yeah, maybe... maybe more wizards. Maybe another city. Maybe a village of the damned. Yeah. Maybe a dungeon.
Maybe a dragon.
Yeah. Good one.
Could be. You like that one? We hope you guys like this episode of Movie Guys Podcast. Like always, check us out at Movie Guys Podcast at podbean.com and download our episodes every Thursday. You can get this episode and many other on any podcast platform that you can think of. We are on. Eric, thank you so much for joining me, and we'll be back next week for another awesome episode. Have a good night.